Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you're going to hear a New York City firefighter sharing his experiences and thoughts on 9/11 in the towers. His name is John Schroeder. He's being interviewed here outside in New York City by Manny Badillo, Luke Rutkowski, and I believe it's Jason Burmis. And the interview takes place in 2007. I think you'll find it quite moving and also quite revealing about what happened that day. So let's begin.
Firefighter who spent the entire day of September 11th with his ladder company right outside the World Trade Center complex, and he is here to tell a story. So if John, if you can just go into a little bit of the background about you as a firefighter when you first became a firefighter.
I became a firefighter in 1990, March of 90. You know, my whole family was firefighters, so it's back a long ways. I first started out in a little house over here in Brooklyn Heights, Engine 224. My career was fine, and I decided my Lieutenant Gene Kelty, who was working that day in Engine 205, was the officer. He got promoted to captain, and he went over to the 10 house, which is 10 engine, 10 truck, which is directly across the street from World Trade 2. That firehouse was actually put into play just for the towers. That was just, yes. That was Port Authority building put in there just for the towers. And I used to see Captain Kelty a lot, you know, and he used to say, listen, man, you know, we could use a senior guy over there. Want to transfer, I'll get you in. Sure. So about 98, I transferred over to the 10 house. Okay. It was all good, great guys, you know. We must have been in the Trade Center 1,000 times at least. All kinds of calls, everything from the roof, people calling in from Jersey saying the roof was on fire on a foggy night, from, you know, people smoke, anything. It was just a crazy place to work. So as the years went on, I'm actually September 10th, 2001, going out to play a little golf over Dyker Beach Golf Course. Did a little carpet job for a friend of mine. He took my little Subaru wagon through the Battery Tunnel, which they gave us parking, the Port Authority. We had a good rapport with the Port Authority. You know, I worked right across the street. And I left my, put my car in the garage, took the R train home that morning. Okay, everything was groovy. Next day, September 11th, went to work about 8 o'clock. Rode my bike over the Brooklyn Bridge, looking at the towers. That was always my destination, knowing that that's where I work, and that's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And, well, we were standing outside, and there was Marty Hardy, the fruit guy, right next to the firehouse. And every morning I go to work, and I stop and I get fruit right next to the firehouse. Marty Hardy used to be in the Deutsche Bank on his towel or whatever he was, and he was praying. I was like, what are you doing there, man? You know what I mean? You could say something was up with him. Well, that morning I went into work, and Marty Hardy wasn't there. All the days, and the nicest day in the world. It was raining, it was snowing. Marty Hardy was there selling fruit. That morning, Marty Hardy wasn't there selling fruit. So I said, okay, fine. Went to the deli, got a couple of things. Went in, got changed for work. My buddy, Paulie Pancini, was the delegate at the time. He took the detail, a 26 engine. The back gate was, I would have probably taken his detail, but I just missed him. He had something to do. God rest his soul. He was our delegate. He was a great guy. Just had a couple little babies. And that morning I come down. It was a beautiful day. We're standing outside. My buddy Shawnee Town was standing right next to me here. My buddy Jeff Olson standing right next to me. Four boys under 10. Sean just got out of the Marines. 9 months on the job. He was a shy guy, but. And I was telling him, hey, we're breaking his job. So I'm like telling him all about these women. But I'm saying, look at this. Talk to them. Because I knew everybody. I talked to everybody over there. I'm like, come on, you know. He was like, you know, I said, oh, you're too much, right? My buddy Serge standing right there. We're hanging out. My buddy Terry Rivera standing right here. Beautiful day. I'm looking up. All of a sudden, like, we hear, what the hell is, in seconds, you see this, the wing of the plane come in. Crash through the building and explode bodies out of the building all on Liberty Street. I run in screaming, a plane just hit the Trade Center. I get on the phone to the dispatcher saying a plane 1060 to box, plane just hit the Trade Center. Get all emergency vehicles down here immediately. It's on. So as we are now saddling up, trying to get out of quarters, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people are trying to run in. My bodies are now just exploding on the ground. Like, what is going on here? The street was on fire instantly. And we were trying to get down Liberty Street to the Marriott. And we ran into Mike Hurley, who's the fire safety director of the towers. And he said, why don't you go hook up to the, around the West Side Highway? So that might have saved our lives, too, that day. That was another blessing in disguise. So we go around, we hook up the West Side Highway. And now there was a lady on fire right outside the door. My buddy Terry Rivera had a can. He was putting her out. That might have saved his life. I said to Sean Talon and Jeff Olson, I said, I'll see you up top. They're in the truck. I'm in the engine. Never to see them again. Gone. It's a lieutenant that day in the truck, Stephen Harrell.
When you saw that lady on fire, did you consider that she, you know, was somebody that was up at the top of the towers?
At the time, we couldn't figure out where she came from. How she got there, we were like, well, we were so dumbfounded because by the time we got around to the corner, to the west side, there was 30 floors of fire. We were like, holy cow, something's up here. And we got into the lobby, went to the command post right by next to Father Judge, Chief Gansey, Chief of Department at the time, God rest his soul, and Father Judge. We got there, we got our orders from the command post to team up with Engine 5 and start our way up, right? So we're standing there in the lobby, we're getting all together. All of a sudden, we hear... I look down to my right, and the elevator's exploded, something out of like a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie. People just come running out of the elevators, on fire, fireballed. I mean, it was like, what is going on here? There's something's up here. I mean, the plane's up there, now there's fire down here. There's people running around all on fire, this is crazy. So we said, look, we had our orders, that's our job, we're going to do what we got to do. So we were going up the stairs. As we were going up, you know, there was fire here, there was fire. People burnt up on different levels, and we were trying to get a read on what floor are you coming from? What floor are you coming from? Just, is there fire on your floor? Is there fire on your floor? We were asking, and they were like, nah, there's some fire on our floor. There's people trapped on other floors, and we're like trying to get a read. These people were pretty calm. People burnt coming down, just saying, thank you, fireman. We were going up. We got to like the 23rd floor. And one of the firemen from Engine 5 thought he was having a heart attack. So we put him down, took off his gear. As we're working on him, he's yelling at the boss, I want to go up. We're like, listen, you're just going to be a problem on the way up if you go down again. We got to go take care of this up here. Come on, this is crazy. Just stop the nonsense. So finally we were like, hey, you know what, do what you got to do. We got to go up and put this fire out. We knew we weren't going to put the fire out. We were saying Hail Marys all the way up the stairs. We knew we were going to die. I knew it. I said, I'm never coming back here today. So my lieutenant, Greg Atlas at the time, God rest his soul, as we're working on the brother from Andrew 5, he says, listen, I'm going up. I'll give you a holler on the radio. The last I ever seen of him. Gone. Yep. And, you know, it was just tough to, you know, and we were like, where you going, Lou? Lou, where you going, man? You know, we got the line. What do you got? You got a flashlight. He goes, I'm going up. He went up, never to be seen again. So then we finally get, you know, done with the brother, and we said, we got to go up, man. This is, come on, we spent enough time here. So we were heading up to the 24th floor of the stairwell, and all of a sudden we heard, Mayday, Mayday, second plane. So we're looking at each other like, come on, second plane? There's no way there's a second plane. Within seconds, our building got rocked. We got bounced around in the stairwell like pinballs, man. And we just said, you know what? Time to go. We got out as much people as we could. Most of the people were out. We were the last guys going up the stairs. We got down. We started taking off, about 12 of us. We got down to the third floor, and that's where the stairwell collapsed on us. And we had to dig our way out. Now the building's coming down. We can't see nothing. Once again, saying our prayers. You know, the show's over here now. This is it. And with that, all of a sudden, we're looking for another stairwell. Me and the lieutenant open the door, we find a body in this closet. We were like, what the heck is that? Where did this come from? Holy shit, what's going on here? Something's crazy going on. We got our way out of the third store, and that's where the maintenance fella, with a little flashlight, saved our lives. He was pointed over, and if it wasn't for him, we never would have found another stairwell. The building would have collapsed.
Willie Rodriguez?
Willie Rodriguez. Thank you, Willie. He saved our lives. Saved about 12 guys' lives that day. At least. We got down to the lobby, and everything was blown out, exploded. Everything was... And we were the only ones in the lobby now. We're going, wait a second here. Where is everybody? Because the building was coming down the outside. They moved the command post to World Trade Center, too. So now we're like, we didn't get no where is everybody. We're in the lobby. All it looks like everything was exploded. Everything was gone. We're like, what is going on here? We didn't know. We were like, this is crazy. All of a sudden, we said, listen, man, no time to cry for your mommy. We got to get out of here. So we took off like cockroaches, 12 of us. We all went our own ways. I ran across North End Avenue and outran the building, throwing my gear off, stripping down in my skivvies. I was standing on the ledge, watching the building come down. I was diving in the river to Jersey. That's, I said, this is it, man. This is the end of the game here. I mean, I made it this far. I'm not going to let them get me now. No way. And what happened was, after that, we ran down North End Avenue, and there came the other tower. We were like, something's very wrong here. And as we ran down, we came around to Duane Street, where the filming of the French guys were that morning. And we had to go check in with the chief on Duane Street to count how many guys we thought might have died. And guys in my company who we were with. So we kind of figured we lost 3 right at that time. We actually ended up losing 5. So we went down and we made it back around to the tent house to see the destruction of the house blown right out of its doors. Right through the back, into the whole, right down Greenwich Street, like insane. And we started digging, we started, you know, searching, we started putting out fires, whatever it took that morning, into the night, and into weeks and months later following, we stayed down there and we did GPS, that's global tracking of bodies. And, you know, they took over the firehouse, they just turned it into a command post. They, you know, our rigs were destroyed, all the rigs from Battalion 1 were destroyed, crushed, buried. My chauffeur was actually under the rig screaming, Mayday, Mayday, when we were going up the stairs. And we're looking, saying, holy cow, the building's coming down already? We're going up? This something's crazy here, man. So we got back to the site, and, you know, we were doing we were digging our house out. And, you know, as the days went on, then they had us doing this global tracking, which was totally off the cuff. It was beyond. You know, nobody came down to ask us how we were doing or what the story was or... Just to go out and track the bodies. And that was enough. We found one of my friends and I lost it. I just couldn't handle it after being in the building, going what I went through and dealing with what I dealt with. And to find a body, a friend of mine, was just, that put me over the edge. That's when I actually went to go see some counseling. Because God knows I was baked. And, you know, at the time, there was a lot of people baked. A lot of people in shock. A lot of people just still, to this day, still can't believe it, like myself, that I survived it and what I'm going through, what I've been through, and, you know, how things have been and how some people should have been taking care of the first responders a little better and came down to the site. Instead of saying, okay, just start digging, they just let us go. And it was off the cuff, and a lot of my friends got sick. A lot of my boys just stood there. It went on for a year, and after... Then they finally moved us out of there. They moved us down to 415. They lost their whole gang, 15 members. That was a disaster. We were living in hell down there. You know, after our firehouse got blown up, we were like stepchildren in somebody else's firehouse that just lost 15 members. And after that, we stayed there for about 6 months, and then the truck got put back into service, and we went over to Duane Street, to 701, and we got housed over there where they were with the French guys. And
by French guys, he's referring to the Naudet brothers, Jules and Gideon Naudet, who were supposedly a French film crew following the training of a new firefighter in New York City. They caught the first plane on film hitting the North Tower. There's now evidence that they may not be who they said they were. For more information on that, you can go to the website www.frankresearch.info. And now back to the interview.
That house was just a mess because what they went through, a couple of my boys, and my buddy Eddie Fay, who was driving Chief Pfeiffer that morning, he was just a total mess. He was, he was in the lobby where all the bodies were exploding while we were going up. You know, so the days following that, you know, a lot of guys just went deeper and deeper into the hole. And, you know, now just every day it's living in constant pain of 9/11 and sticking around, doing the right thing by the city, and not being taken care of. It's heart-wrenching. I put a lot of good time and effort into the fire department. Now it's not coming back. It's a little heart-wrenching. And what we went through, I tell you what, being a hero, a survivor, a rescuer that day, and now being treated like, you know, like it doesn't really matter, like it's forgotten, it pretty hurts the American way, man. It hurts a lot of people. And I know for a fact, I'm one.
Do you have any doubts in the Fisher story?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just the way the whole episode went that day was a total disaster. With the buildings from all of a sudden one tower coming down to the other tower coming down, and then Tower 3 on fire, Tower 4 on fire, Tower 5 on fire, Tower 6 on fire, Tower 7 on fire. They weren't hit by planes. Come on here. What, I mean, who's kidding who? This was something that wasn't right in history. You know, it's something that should have came out. Tower 7 just doesn't come down like that. I'm sorry.
Did you inform them, or did they inform you that second plane was going to
collapse? I just got a mayday. I had a mayday second plane, and a second plane's coming in, and within seconds, we got exploded into the stairwell. That, I mean, come on. You tell me, you only give us a couple seconds? What were you doing outside? Where was the warning? Somebody should have been looking for another plane.
So you were in the North Tower when the second plane hit?
Yes.
And just for clarification, the North Tower was hit first, and that's where John Schroeder was when the second plane hit the South Tower.
And you got blown up in the North Tower when the second plane hit?
Got blown up in the North Tower, in the stairwell where the second plane hit.
At which level were you at that point?
Going up to the 24th floor.
So you were probably still on the ground level at that point?
Pretty much. You know, we were helping people get out. And, you know, like I said, the other guys, that were my boy Sean Talon and Jeff Olson, they had to be probably about seven floors up from me. They never got the mayday. And where was the warning? I mean, where was the warning? I mean, a plane just hit, you think you might have somebody out there watching. No.
I want to ask you, John, how confusing was it for you to know that a plane just hit so many stories up, but yet you saw all this devastation on the way up? How confusing was
it? Oh, we just couldn't believe it. We were scratching our head, thinking, what's going on? Bodies dropping, elevators exploding. It was just, you know, we knew, we said we're going to die. We said this confusion. People coming down the stairs from all different floors burnt, you know, missing an arm, missing this, missing that, and screaming for help. And we're just saying, listen, you got to go down. You got to go down. And, you know, like I said, to this day, it's still confusing to me what really went on and how I try to piece it back. Hello? How many red flags did we have to throw up here?
When you were in that building, how long after that first plane hit did those elevators blow out, would you say?
Oh, we were in there for maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes and the elevators exploded on us. Yeah, we said something's wrong here. I mean, the plane hit up on the 88th floor. In 5 minutes, all of a sudden, now the elevators are exploding on the first level of the lobby.
See, the interesting thing is that a lot of people try to brush that off and like, well, you know, when the plane hit, you know, 9,000 gallons of jet fuel, it rushed down the elevator shafts. But you're saying that there was a distinct time delay between the plane striking and the damage
in your
building.
There was definitely a distinct time delay between the planes hitting and the elevators exploding. So it wasn't.
And what was your feeling about the lobby being so destroyed, as you said?
We were saying, how is this happening when it was 80 stories up there? We was just, you know, you think about it, you say, something else had to go on here. Something else was going on here. This just don't happen like this if when a plane hits the 80th floor of a building and the lobby gets blown out. Sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. Believe me.
Could you talk a little bit about the health of yourself?
Oh, my health, I have decreased 40% my lung capacity. My mental status, I'm shot. I can't remember yesterday some days. You know, all I can remember is 9/11. 9/11, that's all I can remember. It's a crime. My lungs capacity's down. I used to play ball, ride my bike. I can't do any of that no more. The weather affects me. 9/11 every day in the paper affects me. Thinking and breathing, it's just two tough things that I got to deal with. And the street renamings of all these guys after the fact, after 9/11, that just wears my heart into pieces, man. It's just tough to fathom. Every day, 9/11 just being right there. I look at the clock. It's 9/11. My house, 119. I grew up in 119. My sister's birthday, 119. Everything has to do with 9/11. I tell you, this memorial now. What is this? They're changing the memorial site. Come on here. Let's get things straight. The world came to an end. You can't stop things from starting here. That's wrong. Somebody's got that has to be changed. That changed life. That changed the world. And now you're telling me you can't change it for a day? Something's not right here. And I hope it gets fixed before September 11th again, because somebody should just definitely pay the price, the ultimate price for this. Even to have these families think about this is absolutely absurd. Where they lost loved ones of their wound their lives and people got away with this? Come on. Something has to change.
I want to ask you a bit. We know that the former New York City mayor is running for president now. Could you explain a little bit about how you feel Giuliani is?
Giuliani never did nothing for the firemen. I mean, you know, he thinks 9/11 made him. That was the only thing that made him. He never came down to our firehouse to see how we were doing. He never stopped by. Hey, can I get you guys anything? Do you need anything? I mean, you know, send one of your boys. Send somebody down. I mean, my commissioner didn't ever even came down, you know? They came down after the fact. Oh, yeah, well, that was the grand reopening at 10. Yeah, they turned it into a tool shed. They turned it into a command post, a chief command post. They just put us out to dry. After what we went through, we got the short end of that stick. I'm sorry. And Giuliani, you know, between him and our radios and everything else not working that day, I mean, you know, and we always said the radios was a problem. And now, obviously, it took all these people to die for this to come out. It's a crime. Absolute crime.
Now, that morning was an absolutely beautiful morning.
Absolutely gorgeous. I'll never forget it. You know, we were outside. Day was perfect. Just like anything. I was a happy-go-lucky guy standing outside talking to all my friends. Knew everybody on that block. Knew everybody in every store on that block. Used to come down. We were friendly with everybody. And then in 2 seconds, my life changed. Flipped upside down, I lost everything. Lost everything. And people don't even understand. You know, to be there and to see and go through what I went through is an absolute, it's a crime and how things went on and still to this day are going on and nobody's being taken care of right. And I'm here to say my piece. It's been 6 years. 6 years since holding this back. And you know what? It's time. You know what? Let them do whatever they want to do. Go ahead. You know, somebody should know what really went on that day. We got to bring this out and tell the world. You know, and all these people are in the dark. They got to really open their eyes here. Their eyes have been shut too long. You know, and people getting sicker every day. People dying of lung cancer and everything else, and not being taken care of. Are you crazy? Is something wrong here? I think something should be changed here. Something quick, because there's going to be a lot more people getting sick. A lot more mentally, physically, handy people getting sick.
You heard two fall down, right? Did you see both of them?
I seen both of them fall.
You saw both of them
both
fall.
Of them. I outran the one and got it down to the water and watched the other one collapse. Watched many people jumping out of the buildings right before they came down. Splatter. Oh, yeah. Could not believe it. People holding hands. Three people at a time coming down. It was like something out of a movie. It was just something like saying this can't be happening. And it was, and I was living in it. I was part of it. I was right in the center. Yeah.
I realize 6 years has passed, but do you remember your initial thoughts when you saw those, but well, even just Tower 2 coming down?
What? It was funny, because Tower 1 was coming down from the interior on us.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people, you know, it just didn't poof. It was coming down. It was coming from the interior. It trapped us on the third floor, and we were like, this thing is definitely coming down, man. Because, you know, the inside structure was just disintegrated. We're like, how is this happening when the plane was up 50 more stories and the stairwell's collapsing on us? Something wasn't right, man. Something wasn't right in Denmark that day. And, you know, like I said, if it wasn't for that maintenance guy, Willie Rodriguez, you know, there would have been a couple more firemen dead, a couple more people dead. He saved the lives of about 12 people that day at least. I'd like to thank him 1,000 times when I see him.
Now, what about the other buildings, like WTC 3 and 4 and 5?
It was,
were they still standing? Weren't they still...
They were partially, they were fire on different floors and from one end to the next. It was incredible to say, you know, something ain't happening right here, man.
It must have been so confusing to hear explosions.
Explosions, fires everywhere. Like, well, is there something happening that we don't know about here? I mean, a plane just hit. We didn't just, like, get rocketed. It wasn't an F-14 coming in shooting rockets at us. It was just two regular planes coming in. And it was just something to see. It was hard to take.
Were you able to speak with fellow firefighters? Did they also mention that they also heard explosions?
Well, we thought it was just fire and impact. We didn't think at the time it was anything but. Well, you know, first plane we thought was a mistake. But then the second plane we said, we're under attack here. And, you know, and for them to give us about a 3-second warning on that, hello, who's looking out for us here?
Not only that, you had a message broadcast inside Building 2 telling people to...
Yeah, I remember that myself. Stay.
You heard that.
Stay home. Yeah. Stay home. So we're like, who is this guy to tell anybody at this point in time? I mean, for the first time we got to the West Side Highway, we looked up and it was 30 floors of fire. You got another building right next to you with thousands of people in it. Get them out. It's plain and simple here. Oh, go back to work. Go back. Yeah, now they'll never go back to work. Now nobody will go back to work. There ain't no work to go back to. There ain't no families to go back to. It's a sin. I would like to know who that person was.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how that person sleeps.
They even tried investigating it. I don't think they ever found out exactly who was in charge of making that decision.
You think that guy, I'm surprised, might have hung himself.
I would hope so, man.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say that, God, but it was a bad call, man.
You've just been listening to New York City firefighter John Schroeder talking about his experiences in the North Tower on 9/11. Tune in next week to hear the conclusion of that interview with Manny Badillo, Luke Rutkowski, and Jason Burmis. There is a website called firefightersfor911truth.org where the firefighters have a petition demanding a new investigation. I'm just going to read you a short piece from their website. Firefighters for 9/11 Truth is a nonpartisan association of firefighters and affiliates created to increase awareness, provide public education, demand a real investigation that follows national standards, and provide support to our brothers and sisters in need. We are deeply troubled by the, quote, official story and the way the rescue workers from Ground Zero are being forgotten. We believe there is overwhelming evidence of obstruction of justice and destruction of evidence, voiced even by numerous 9/11 commissioners themselves. The NFPA, the National Fire Protection Association, which is the national standard for fire and explosion investigations, very clearly indicates in numerous sections that the possibility of explosives should have been thoroughly investigated. So why was the possibility of explosives, controlled demolition, or the use of exotic accelerants not thoroughly investigated or even mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report? Firefighters for 9/11 Truth demand the following: a truly independent investigation with subpoena and contempt powers to uncover the complete truth of the events related to 9/11-2001, specifically the collapse of World Trade Center Tower 7 and the possibility of explosive demolition. The investigation to follow the national standards so clearly outlined in the National Fire Protection Association guidelines, specifically NFPA 921, to include thorough analysis of the steel for the presence of exotic accelerants. Congress to honor the promises made to the rescue workers of 9/11 by passing the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act of 2008. Prosecution of all individuals willfully involved in the planning and execution of the murders committed on September 11, 2001. Prosecution of all individuals willfully involved in the obstruction of justice and destruction of evidence surrounding the events of September 11, 2001. We challenge you to look at the evidence with an open mind and make judgments. Remember, you don't have to be an expert to sit on a jury, and you have the right to be critical of and demand answers from the, quote, experts. Take time to gather the facts and have the courage to ask for more. We all need to show some courage by demanding answers, justice, and fair treatment for the Ground Zero rescue workers. And again, that website is firefightersfor911truth.org. And I'd encourage you to check it out. It's a good website. They have lots of resources up there, videos, articles by the firefighters, etc. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.